Well, good morning, everybody. You know, praise the Lord. I tell you what, it's been an interesting past couple days for me, and we've had some really good Bible studies. I'm telling you, man, I had a good one Sunday night. We had a good one Tuesday morning. And I tell you, man, it's like the enemy just does not want those good Bible studies to come out. Does not want them to come out. When we talked about Tuesday morning, about how we can call upon the name of the Lord. We can call upon Him. Don't be scared to. We're telling the kids, don't be scared to. Call upon Him. The Lord loves that. The Lord loves that. And no matter what the situation looks like, no matter what's coming at us, we can trust in our Lord God. And it was a situation that happened Tuesday night where I think Naomi had a nightmare. And you know, that thing, that was not a good thing. I mean, she woke up in fear and terror. The devil was chasing her, man. She was scared. She had no peace. She had fear. And you look at that thing and you go, man, that's not a good thing. And that's not a good thing at all, man. That's a bummer. But see, what the Lord had done is He had turned that thing around and redeemed that nightmare. Had redeemed that nightmare. What He had done was He turned around, and because of that nightmare, she had to practice faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she got peace. And the other's hand on that thing, it also was a good thing for Sue. Sue's sound asleep. Mommy, Mommy, I'm freaking out. You know, she has to get up and play that role as her mother, regardless of just waking up. But take that role as a mother and point her to Christ and to peace with Him. And the third thing that happened out of that thing, we had a great Bible study. A great Bible study. And that's where God uses the things that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And God uses that which to turn around on His head, that He may be glorified and that we are strengthened in the faith of Him and what He is able to do and what He has already done. So it was a marvelous thing. It was a marvelous thing. And it's a marvelous thing for me to sit back and watch. And not so much fun when I gotta go through it myself. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some really good Bible studies happen. And I get hit with Affirmative Friday. And it's one thing and it turns to something else on Saturday. But praise be to God. And then there's some other things that are falling through the cracks on me that don't look so good. That look really, really bad. I was sharing with Paul this morning. It looked really bad for me. So, I mean, it, all the way around, I'm looking at this thing and I'm just going, you know, there's a part of frustration in this, but at the same time, there's a part of, I know the Lord's deliverance is His hand on the other side of this. Because He has showed me too many times His deliverance. He has shown me too many times where it has been a thing of just, man, this is not good. But His power and His might comes out. And He is glorified. There is nothing of my own power or my own strength that I have a testimony of. It's only by His power and by His strength and taking the messes that I either one created myself or the one that the enemy dished out on me and had turned around for His glory. And it was only the Lord could do that. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could do that. So look, praise God. The turmoil is coming, praise God. The rain's coming, praise God. Situations, a boy bubbling up, praise God. Things look like a disaster, praise God. That's what we're going to do, amen? And we need one another to do that. We need one another to do that, to strengthen us in that. And then the Lord's good. But I didn't have a particular scripture this morning. I didn't have a particular scripture, but there is one thing I want to go to. And let's go to, I think, Peter. Because this is what had came into my mind. And it's, I think it was 1 Peter. And I think I'll start, and you know, we're going over this, so it's probably much better explained online at the Fisherman Ministries website, because it's recorded down, because Steve and Paul and Davey and Ricky are going through this, have gone through this already. But I want to just hit this key point. And I'll start with chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit, and to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And I'm just going to read down. I'm not going to go in detail unless something pops up. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. That's the part I want to get to. Because nothing else can save you. Not your 401k. Not your retirement plan. Not that food that you had stocked up in your, you know, in your mini storage and, you know, that's not going to save you. Not your underground bunker. That's going to keep you when the, you know, world comes to an end. That's not going to save you. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying these things are bad. I mean, because it could be very much just like with Joseph. Remember Joseph? The Lord gave Joseph the interpretation of the dream that Pharaoh had in the midst of his captivity. And he says, look, what this dream means is going to be that there's going to be 7 years of famish. There's going to be 7 years of famine, and there's going to be 7 years of famish, or 7 years of plenty, and then 7 years of famish. And you know what? Pharaoh was obedient unto that thing. And had Joseph become the head of over everything in Egypt, which was part of God's plan, and so he saved up, and when those 7 years came, they had plenty to eat off. So, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. There are stories where your obedience unto Jesus Christ, but that's not what saves you, is Jesus Christ and what He has done and the faith in Him. That's it. And so when these things boil up and things become out of control in a situation that absolutely it looks hopeless, let's turn to Him and let's stand yet again believing on Him to bring us through. I mean, because let's face it, guys. Let's face it. If we don't have the faith now to trust Him for our provision, or we don't have the faith now to trust Him through whatever situation we're going through now, are we really going to have the faith to meet Him in the air when He calls? Are we going to have the faith that He is going to raise us from the dead? unto him. I mean, this is important things. I mean, we can look at this thing and look at it as, this is bad. We can be like, you know, the spies out on the children and with the children of Israel when they go went and spied out that good land that the Lord had promised them. And we can look at it and we can be part of those spies that go, they are giants. They're going to kill us. We don't have a chance. Or we can be those two that looked and said, man, that land is good and it's good for our taking. See, we have this, whether you realize it or not, we have that set before our face all the time. When things get heated up around you, it's talking about a fiery trial. When things are getting heated up around you, that's your opportunity to be on one side or the other. To be Joshua and Caleb in the midst and say, that land is good for a taking. God's going to deliver me. Deliver me this land, or deliver me out of this situation, or whatever the situation may be. Or we can stand just like the children of Israel on the other side and saying, those are giants, this is going to kill me. This is a hopeless situation. I'm not going to get through this. I mean, look, we have a choice. And the Lord brings that to us all the time. And you know what? If we do fault, and if we do fail, and I guarantee we will, and we look at that situation and we stand in that place of unbelief, you know what we can always do? We can always turn around. We can always call upon His name. We can always repent for our unbelief. And we can yet start believing. I don't care how much you walked in unbelief before this moment. But right now we can call upon His name. Right now we can call upon Him. And He will hear us. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's what the Scripture says. Because you look back to Jesus, the one that is able. And you put your faith back on Him. And the enemy has no more ground upon you, because the Lord looks at that and says, look, Satan, he does believe. He does believe. He's putting his faith and trust back on me. And that's how the Lord loves it. The Lord, that puts a smile on his face. That puts a smile on his face. Because that's where He wants us to have our faith, is in Him. And that pleases Him. Without faith, cannot please God. So I don't care if you're screwed up. I don't care if you're messed up. I don't care if you had walked in unbelief. Right now, all I care about is if you guys, if we are turning as a body and repenting and calling on His name now. And the Lord is good. And the Lord works that out abundantly. We can above, we can ask or think. That's our God. That is Jesus Christ. A loving Father. I mean, us parents, we know how much we love our kids. It's unexplainable. And we are evil. And we're talking about God who is perfect. God who is love. That's who we're talking about calling on. So as situations come up and issues come up, let's remind ourselves. Let's bring this back into remembrance. Let's look at it as not as a thing that is going to try to kill us, but a thing that is going to save us, because we put our faith and trust in Him. Let's change our mind. Paul challenged us for us to do that last week. the transforming of our mind. Joshua and Caleb had it, man. They knew the deliverance was on the other side. That's an example. That's a story there that we need to hang on to. And remember that as we therefore have opportunity, let's put our faith and trust in Him over and over and over again. He's already proved Himself to us, just like He did with the children of Israel. He's already proved Himself to us. He showed up for you, Brad. He showed up for you, Lisa. He showed up for you, Jeff. And I'm pointing these people out because I know what they have done, what He has done for them. For you, Casey, and y'all's kids, and for me and my kids, and for Paul, and for Angie, for Edmund. I seen them touched out there in Texas. It was a beautiful thing. And for you, Linda. So He's proved Himself. Let's exercise that faith in Him. Amen. Not in our own ability or strength, because I know in my own ability and strength that what that always leads me to. Leads me to a mess. My own ability and strength left me for dead. That's what it's done. The Lord's not that way, and He wants us to lay those things down and look upon Him. Amen. I'm done.
While Phil was up here, I'm thinking to myself, the great blessing, the provision of the Lord is, we have His Word, we have one another, and there is no weapon formed against His people can stand if His people keep seeking Him and seeking to participate with one another in the body and provoking one another to righteousness and good works. And yeah, occasionally, you know, kicking somebody else back into play. I'm struck as I think back over time. Somebody, Lord, bring somebody in to me. And, you know, they came to me because they were seeking somebody who would tell them the truth. And they go their way. And I wouldn't see him again for months and months and months and months. And then I see him again. And it's the same thing. You know, you're one of them. Those opportunities are so precious. And they're not a testimony that I'm good. They're a testimony that the truth that I possess, that has been imparted to me, is good. I don't know that I really have a whole lot of exposition to go through here. There was a passage that was on my mind, and Phil was on one end of Peter, and I'm on the other, 4:17, and maybe through the end of it. Because it's just, you know, it's a challenge. The Lord has set us up knowing who the enemy is with the tools to keep the enemy at bay. The enemy comes but to kill, steal, and destroy, right? So what's the problem? You going to let him have that opportunity? What? For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. What was Phil talking about here? I said, oh, I'm going to do an exposition. We'll see how that works out. It is an act of judgment you exercise on yourself to determine whether or not you have the faith to be able to go to meet him in the air when he calls. You going to be able to do that? But the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And, you know, if we want our household, our part of the body, to stand that judgment, we need to be determining these things in ourselves individually. And if it first begin with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? This is security for us. The judgment's coming. It's going to come to us first, but it's going to come to the ones that obey not the gospel of God. It's going to stink to be them, right? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? not going to be pretty. The good news in that is if we're part of living, breathing, functioning body of Christ, that judgment's nothing to fear on our part. But it does. What's going to happen to those who don't believe? How many of those people out there, you know, that don't believe? That should give you a heart that breaks for them. Right? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Well, what suffering according to the will of God is gone over earlier in chapter 4. But some of that is suffering the rejection of those who reject the truth. Some of that is suffering in the flesh by denying what you would be doing if you weren't out to please the Lord and obey the gospel. And then there's just suffering reproach for well-doing, which, let's face it, is exactly what happened for Jesus. With Jesus, Jesus was he was being crucified by the people he came to minister to. The first time I want to sit back and start whining. Hard to do that with that image in your head. He who knew no sin, suffering the reproach of those who didn't want to know him. But the commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. He's going to take care of us. And you can suffer the reproach and the rejection of those who won't obey the truth. That's going to happen. You trust him who went there first. He went there before you. He suffered the same things. And then the setup of the larger body of Christ, he goes into in chapter 5, the elders which are among you, I exhort, I'm also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Feed the flock of God. John 21, Jesus' exchange with Peter. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You can have be doing the right thing because your arm's twisted. He doesn't want you doing the right thing. He wants you doing it because you choose to, because it's the right thing. It pleases the Lord. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You want an example of how somebody who loves the Lord and seeks to know him and studies his word, find the elder among you that's been doing that for a while. We have a lot of them in our ministry, and we're blessed to have them. When the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now that's talking about these elders. They have responsibility. They're accountable to God. They have knowledge, and they're supposed to share that. That's what feeding the flock's about, taking the oversight. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, of all, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. This is part of this one that sounds very much reminiscent of James. Be subject to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. There is a common thematic return over and over in Scripture The place that you start receiving from the Lord is the place where you come to Him humble, on your knees, not presuming you're okay, but presuming your great need of His grace and His mercy. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. So many people pursue the exaltation accolades here and now. That's all meaningless and transient. Like here today, gone tomorrow. The one that counts is the one He does. That's the only one that counts. All that other stuff. Window dressing on the parade route, it really doesn't matter at all. Casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of care out there. And I probably didn't say that in a way that made sense. I see a lot of care out there. I don't know if y'all see it. I see it within our group. And we're encouraged to cast that on Him. He loves us. He wants to set us free from that. You know, that's a part of the ministry, the priestly ministry of the Father. It's to take the cares off your wife and children. Take the cares off of them. Set them free from all the stuff they get into and they get, all bound up by. That's just casting all your care upon Him before He careth you. That's just so neat that it meant enough for Him to put that in there. And it's true. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom... The devil resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's out there who are believers. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I can receive that prayer. That one, I need that. I did get a couple amens out there. That's a good thing. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's see if there's... All the rest of it's kind of closing. So I'm going to cut it off there. That's one of those things I wake up and I read and I go, you know what? The Lord's good. The Lord's word is good. And whereas the truth may not testify on my behalf, it gives me an opportunity to change my mind and turn to the Lord. And then it gives me opportunity to minister that to other people. And it's the same for all of us. He's good. His ways are good. If we would just seek to learn those ways and be able to be partakers of His goodness and His graciousness and His loving kindness. He's got His arms outstretched. All you got to do is receive it. Take it.